are going, if you would turn not to John, but to Proverbs chapter 1. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, it is also printed in the bulletin. You can look in that. If I could ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll be reading Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let's ask his blessing on it. O God, as we hear your word, as we hear your wisdom, may you teach us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Once a month, I like to take a break from our normal sermon series and focus on a passage from wisdom literature. So far, I've been doing that mainly from the book of Psalms, looking at individual Psalms and going through those things, unpacking them, seeing what we can learn from it. But wisdom literature in Scripture is much broader than just Psalms. There are several books to choose from when thinking about wisdom literature, including Psalms, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, even passages in the New Testament. And so we should, as if we're going to look at wisdom literature and try to understand what's going on here, we should do two things. One, we should try to understand what is wisdom. What is wisdom literature? And also, why are there different books of wisdom literature? Why does God give us the Psalms and then gives us Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, Song of Solomon? Why does God give us this multifaceted perspective of wisdom literature? Well, that's kind of what I want to tackle today. It's a big question, so we'll kind of just barely skim the surface of that question. But I hope that we'll see that this is such a large genre within the body of Scripture. And as we look at this large genre, we can begin to understand the principles of wisdom. And so this morning we'll look at the basics of the wisdom of God. Wisdom 101, if you will. As we look at this particular passage, this introduction to a wisdom book, we'll see what wisdom is, what its purpose is for our lives, and why we so desperately need God's wisdom. And to do that, I want to break it down in a very, very typical way. When you read through Proverbs, you see these themes rising out of it. You see the pursuit of wisdom, you see the path of folly, and you see the person of wisdom, the person who is wisdom. So those are our three points this morning that we'll track through this this Wisdom 101 kind of sermon. So again, we're looking big picture at wisdom and trying to understand, okay, where are we within God's Word? What is the point of wisdom? Why is it included here in God's canon of Scripture? What's the point of wisdom? Is it just for making good decisions, right? That's a good thing. We want to live our lives wisely. We want to live our lives doing good things. So perhaps wisdom is for that. Or maybe it's bigger than that. Maybe wisdom is a lifestyle. Maybe it's a path. We see kind of this imagery throughout the book of Proverbs of the path of wisdom versus the path of folly. Maybe wisdom is something that we pursue, a trajectory. I think it's those things, but I think it's more than that as well. It's more than good things, it's more than character growth, it's more than being an image bearer of God. Wisdom is the multifaceted result of walking with and knowing God. Because God is wisdom, right? Wisdom comes from God. That's what we see at the very end here of this introduction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yet fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's a warning, right? There's a contrast here between the foolish, those who run after other things, and the wise who go to the Lord, who walk with the Lord, who begin there, studying God, who He is. Wisdom is a multifaceted result of walking with and knowing God. And each of the facets of wisdom is explored throughout Scripture. So as you see different books of wisdom, you see different aspects of that wisdom. You see in Proverbs kind of this idyllic wisdom, or maybe better called a wisdom of shalom. That word shalom, you're probably familiar with it, that idea of peace. That picture of rest, of coming into the promised land and everything being good, everything being right. And in this society, this idyllic society of everything being right, as the people of Israel looked forward to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, right? This wisdom of God has a place within that land. Those who do justly and walk with God will receive good things. Those who know God and worship Him as He has commanded them will receive His blessing. But those who reject God, those who turn to their own ways, fools who despise the Lord, who despise His wisdom and instruction, they will receive not good things, not the blessing of God, but the curse of God. It's a warning, right? The Proverbs is the book that tells us how things ought to be. How things should be. When you're going through life, it's almost the instruction manual for being human. This is how God created us to be. However, if you've lived at any time in this world, you know that the wisdom of Proverbs doesn't necessarily match up with our daily experiences. Is Proverbs faulty? Is it wrong? Is this shalom type of wisdom mistaken? After all, Solomon seems to think that these things should be passed down from generation to generation. This idea of a father teaching his son the wisdom of the Lord. No, Proverbs isn't wrong, but wisdom is multifaceted. This is how God created us to be. This kind of wisdom that comes out of following God, it's a good thing. But it doesn't always work out that way. We see in Psalms the wisdom of lament. The wisdom of crying out to God when things don't go the way that they ought to. When it appears like the wicked are prospering in all that they do. And when it appears that the righteous are downcast and have no hope. There's wisdom in Ecclesiastes. Where can we go to find hope? Where can we go to find life and enjoyment? Testing of all the things in this world seems to lead only one place, back to God. And all of these books of Scripture, even Song of Solomon, this book that often is just hard to unpack, this book of wisdom that teaches of the fiery nature of relationship between a man and a wife, of what love ought to be, and the protection of that love within that sacred relationship of marriage. Even there we find it drawing us back to God. We know God, and we need to know His wisdom. Because outside of God, all of our wisdom is broken. In our broken world, we need more wisdom. We need more and more. We aren't enough in our wisdom. But we see wisdom draws us deeper still. It teaches us to receive instruction, to receive righteousness, justice, equity. You see here, wisdom, and the purpose of wisdom is to instruct us, to draw us closer, to teach us how we ought to live in light of both the good and the bad in this world. It's a way to draw us not only to know God, but to act like Him, to reflect Him, to be image bearers of Him. That's what we see here. All these purpose statements in Proverbs 2, 3, and 4, Proverbs 1, verse 2 through 4. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. God wants us to draw closer to Him, to walk with Him. And all of these things are things that are ongoing. It's framed in the sense of a continual growth, a continual path towards knowing God more fully and walking with Him and walking like Him. The purpose of wisdom, then, is for us to know God more fully and to walk in His ways. But, like we see here in Proverbs, there's not just the purpose of wisdom, but there's also a warning of the path of folly. I've already mentioned it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Even with all of the varied different kinds of wisdom that we see in Scripture, even though God gives us plentiful wisdom, we still have this warning. We still have the tendency in our own heart to go after the path of the fool. It can still feel too hard, right? Look at Psalm 119. When's the last time that you went through that and said, oh, this is just so restful? I was talking about the law of God. How hard it is for us to agree and to rejoice in what the psalmist says, how beautiful the law of God is. If you haven't wrestled with that, I don't know if you've really read through Psalm 119. The problem here is that we often find ourselves on this path of folly. Wisdom is hard. Wisdom is challenging. So what should we think when wisdom seems to be out of our grasp? Well, we must find hope in something beyond our grasp. We must find hope in God. And again, wisdom has an answer for that as well. Wisdom teaches us that when we are at the bottom of the barrel, when we have run out of our own understanding, we can turn to God. And in fact, it calls us to continue to do that. It teaches us to draw closer to God, to find hope beyond our own power. You see, the path of folly is actually a lot simpler than we normally think of it. Yes, Proverbs talks a lot about watching out for temptation and taking care to go along the right path. But the path of folly actually begins much, much further back before we choose, before we are acting in our lives. The path of folly begins when we try to gather up all of this wisdom and do everything on our own. The path of folly comes when we try to reject God, trying to do things on our own power, trying to live our lives in our own way. And we know that this is the natural in our fallen sin kind of nature. It's the natural way that we approach God. To try to do things in our own power, to try to live our lives without acknowledging Him. The path of folly begins when we try to do everything on our own. And when this path appears before us, and it appears to be desirable, it appears to be the right path before us, we start on this pathway towards an inescapable grave. The path of folly, as we see in Proverbs, is a path that leads to death. This rejection of God, this wanting to run away and do things on our own, is a path towards death. It's often said, if you do not kill your sin, it will be killing you. And we cannot solve even this on our own, right? There's a problem there. If we try to solve this problem on our own, we're just doing the same thing over and over again. Leaning on our own wisdom. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Right? God wants us to understand that our paths of running over and over again to our own ways, they will not lead to anything new. They won't lead to anything good. They always lead towards the same empty pits, to the same folly, to the same path of death. Sometimes in our family, we talk about these two paths, the path of wisdom and the path of folly. Sometimes we'll ask each other, are you choosing the path of wisdom or are you choosing the path of folly? And we say, where do you think that path will lead? Right? Where is the path that you are on right now? Where is that headed? If you're trying to make it through your life with your own power, trying to gain all this wisdom that you've accumulated through your life, and you think, that's enough, I've got it now, I've got this figured out, I can do this. Where will that path lead? Well, you know, right? You know instinctively. You know because you've experienced it before. That path always leads to failure. Always leads to that same old shame. I didn't do it. But the path of wisdom, path where God is calling us to this morning, calls us to the path of reliance, trust, faith. Path where we see God is doing what we cannot do. He is making a salvation to pull us out of that pit of death that we could never make. God is doing something with His wisdom that is beyond our power. And His invitation to know Him, His invitation to walk in His ways of wisdom, is an invitation to know His salvation. So if we see the purpose of wisdom and we see in contrast the path of folly that so easily entangles us, we are then called to know the person who is wisdom. Right? Because all of these things, again, it continues to draw us back to Him, to God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, of this wisdom that God is calling us to. Where does it come from? Where does this wisdom come from? It's a process. It's that process of drawing closer to God, of knowing Him, walking with Him as He teaches us, as a father teaches his son. He wants us to know Him and draw closer to Him. This can be challenging for us, right? It's hard to walk in this path. But God is a kind Father. God, as our Heavenly Father, continues to draw us to Himself with patience and kindness. When we feel the impossibility of obtaining this wisdom in our own lives, we are forced to look outside of ourselves, and there, God, as our Heavenly Father, is waiting to lift us up, to carry us in His wisdom. And we know that wisdom's source is in God Himself, and He teaches us wisdom. In fact, He embodies wisdom. Just as Hebrews 1, as we read earlier, God revealed the fullness of His plan through Christ. So too, God reveals the fullness of His wisdom through Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, this is what Paul says. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and a folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul here, like Hebrews, says that he is the fulfillment of all of the prophecies, of all of this revelation of God's plan. Paul here is saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of the wisdom of God. In Christ, the plan of salvation comes to confound the wisdom of this world. There's a reason why our wisdom doesn't measure up to God's wisdom. It cannot. When we seek after wisdom of our own might, we forget that our wisdom falls far short. It is foolish in the in comparison to the wisdom of God. But Paul continues, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Do you see how Paul is developing this understanding of wisdom? This problem that we have in our human nature is to set up our wisdom against God, and yet God here is in the business of breaking down our wisdom. He makes our wisdom foolish. "Not many of you were wise, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise." He's breaking down our wisdom. He's breaking down those attempts at making our own way. But he's doing that so that we might know Christ, who became to us wisdom from God. So what is all of this? What does all of this mean? Where do we find the wisdom of God, and how do we then live in the wisdom of God? Wisdom of God is in Christ. He is the fullness of the wisdom of God. And the good news is that in Christ, both the hope of the goodness of God and the lament of our sinful world are met in him. Both our failure to achieve our own way and the redemption that God has purchased for us are met in Christ. For he has paid for our sins on the cross. He has redeemed our brokenness on the cross. And he has given us the wisdom of God that we can grow in, that we can trust in, that we can walk in as those who walk with him, those who are bound up in Christ. In Christ, we become wisdom bearers. Christ is our wisdom, and he is with us. The good news is that God has promised wisdom in Christ in abundance. James says that we can ask God for wisdom whenever we need it, as much as we need it. There is no limit to the amount that we can ask. Do you see that as Christ is the wisdom of God, what he's saying? We can ask for wisdom, and when we ask, God gives us Christ. Christ walks with us. He teaches us of himself. He teaches us how to walk as he walks. The solution to our greatest need is in Christ. When we are not enough, Jesus is. Not only do we have the wisdom of God who walks with us as an elder brother, we have the wisdom of God, our Father, who directs our lives, who changes everything about how we read the instruction of Proverbs and Psalms and all the books of wisdom literature. He isn't a sour father pressing us down with his thumb, waiting to watch us fail. No, he's a good and loving father. In Christ, this changes everything about our relationship with wisdom. the wisdom of the Father. He teaches us because he cares for us and loves us. So that's why when we go to the Psalms, that's why when we go through Proverbs and read it, we can start to learn how Christ lives for us, how he teaches us. The wisdom of God transforms us over time. God has a trajectory for us. We see this even in Proverbs. The wisdom, in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, that becomes incarnate in the person of Christ. And that becomes incarnate in our own hearts. Look at verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. The one who understands obtain guidance. Do you see that mirror there? Verse 2. This is the purpose of wisdom, to know and to understand. And in Christ, verse 5, the wise hears and increases. The one who understands obtains guidance. Wisdom incarnates into our lives as well. Because Christ comes and lives within us. When we talk about wisdom, this big topic, this thing that seems so big in our minds, so many different facets that we can study and understand throughout Scripture, this is a lifetime pursuit. But it's not a pursuit that we walk alone. It's not a pursuit that is something far off, an ideal that we can never reach, or a skill that we just can't seem to master. Because of the gospel, because Christ has come and died for us and redeemed us, if you have trusted in him, wisdom is the person of Christ who has come near to you and me this morning. In Jesus, all the treasures of wisdom, all the knowledge of God dwell bodily. And he delights to share himself with those who ask. The call of wisdom is not a burden, but an invitation to walk with Christ himself. It's an invitation for you, for me this morning. Know Christ. Walk with him. When our worldly wisdom seems to run out, when we're at the end of ourselves, Christ carries us. He knows who we are. God has designed us for this purpose, to find all in him, to find our wisdom, to find our righteousness, find your satisfaction and your redemption in Christ. In him, the path of wisdom is no longer out of reach, for he walks beside you and he invites you to take his hand to walk with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us your wisdom. We ask, knowing that you have promised that for those who cry out to you, trusting in you, that you will give us according to our desire. You will give us the wisdom that we long for. Oh God, we thank you that your wisdom has incarnate in Christ, our Savior. We thank you that wisdom is no longer abstract, no longer a set of things that we aspire to, but it is our Savior who has come to us, who has made foolish all of our earthly pursuits, so that we might find our fullness, our shalom, are all in all in him. Oh God, lead us in our lives as we now pursue walking in his light. As we pursue this path of wisdom, God, teach us Draw us closer to you, so that we might know our Savior, so that we might know our Father, your will for us, in your wisdom, not in our own. Draw us close to you, O God, so that we may walk in the path that you have set before us, knowing that you walk with us the whole way. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.